guys, Kat and Mark here. We've got an important message for you guys.
We have been nominated for three awards at the Australian Adult Industry Awards. I'm nominated for Best Escort. Mark is nominated for Best Sex Therapist. And we are collectively nominated for Best Podcast again. So
make sure all you guys, every single day, set a reminder, give us a vote. We really appreciate it.
Every single day. So just set a reminder in your phone. We really need your guys' help to win these awards. And if you would like to see us live in the flesh, we are also hosting the awards again this year for the second year in a row. So get your tickets to the Australian Adult Industry Awards, and then you can see us live in person. But yeah, don't forget to vote. I'll put the link and everything, all of the details in the description. And yeah.
Perfect.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Kat and Mark Show. Kat, how you been?
I want to just talk about something really important for a minute.
Oh, damn, okay.
Do you ever get the feeling that, like, something just isn't real?
Do I ever get the feeling that something isn't real? Sometimes. Sometimes I see like some titties that's really and I'm just like, not real. Nah, not real, that ass, fake.
Yeah. So on our last show, I had no headphones on and I was saying like my Beats broke, right? So anyways, This is a new pair of Beats that I'm wearing right now. And they don't feel real. Like, it's like I brought them. So we hung out on the weekend and I brought the Beats and I was like, Mark, these are my new Beats. They're meant to be exactly the same, but they don't look the same.
They don't. Have you got them on the wrong way around? Is that meant to be the right or the
look, I think they are the wrong way around right now. But
actually,
that's,
no. They
are actually the wrong way around right now. But the buttons, the buttons meant to be on the right side. But they don't look or feel or sound the same, even though everyone is trying to convince me that they're the same, and they're not the same.
I'm with you.
I'm having the biggest Mandela effect right now because these Beats don't feel real. They don't even feel like actual Beats. I showed them to you and I was like, Mark, tell me these are real Beats. And you're like, nah, they look different.
Yeah, they do. I don't know but everyone else was like gaslighting us saying that they're real Beats.
I was even looking on the website because like these ones are like, they're like, if you look at them on the side, they're like tilted. They're like crooked sort of. And I was like, my old ones were not crooked like that. But then I'm looking on the website, I'm looking at photos of Beats and all of the photos on the internet show the Beats as being crooked. I was like, motherfuckers were never crooked before like that.
maybe your old Beats were fucked up.
So I think coming back from my trip, I've like loopholed into some other matrix where Beats are crooked now.
Maybe that's what happened.
No, I know it is. I'm telling you.
Have you noticed anything else?
I'm not really like conspiracy like this, but I'm telling you, these Beats are not real. Like they were not crooked like this before.
I mean, yeah. What else have you noticed that isn't real? Maybe you I'm are gonna have in to.
I think I am. Seriously, I think like maybe I think
nothing is real.
I think like coming back from overseas, like I think somewhere along in the plane, I've like crossed dimensions and I'm now in a world where Beats are crooked.
Well, I'm glad
they were
I'm
not
here
crooked
with
before. I've been trying like really. So now I'm like trying to find like photos of like me and my old Beats and see like trying to match them
it's
up.
Like comparing them.
Yeah, no, I know. So, anyway, so I haven't gotten used to this new world with these crooked Beats yet. But
well, welcome to our world with the crooked Beats.
I know, but then I'm also like, maybe it's just because I wasn't wearing them for a month that now they just feel weird.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'll like worn in.
Oh, and then that because I did have them for like a year, so maybe they just like uncrookeded.
What happened to them, by the way? Why did they break?
They just broke one day. I just put them on and they stopped. Jeez. Like the sound was like rusty sound.
Damn.
So. Okay.
They were rusty. I don't know how long. Okay, you gotta get.
Are yours Beats as well?
Nah, bro.
What are yours?
Sony.
Is that better?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They look pretty. They look pretty stealthy.
Not crooked.
Yeah, quite stealthy. Yeah. See, that's how I thought my Beats used to look like, very round and circle before, and then all of a sudden these ones are like on an axis.
Do you use your Beats other than the podcast?
Yeah, all the time.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, literally every single day, like at the gym or like even just if I'm going out getting groceries, I'll put them on, like listen to shit.
Damn, okay.
So it's not like,
all, well used.
Well, yeah, but like I use them all the time. So it's like I would have noticed if they were crooked, surely.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm in some ultimate dimension right now.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
We'll see how we go with this ultimate dimension.
I know. I'm going to have to check like, you know, the Berenstain Bear thing and some other like.
Yeah.
Oh, what are some of the other like Mandela effects? I'm going to have to like check which dimension I'm in based on like all these other Mandela effects.
I love it. You've gone down a rat hole. Tell me about your trip though. Damn.
Yes. So my trip. Oh God, I've got so much to say about my trip. Seriously.
So tell me about your trip.
Yeah. So my trip didn't, which I posted a bit on my social media to anybody if that's following me on social media, that my trip kind of didn't really go as planned. So it was meant to be my first overseas collab trip, which for people that don't know what that is, lots of people that do OnlyFans will like go overseas and film with creators, like bigger creators from overseas, because overseas people just have so much more followers. I mean, there's just like comparatively, there's just more people in like Europe or in America. So it's easier to get like, you know, into the millions of followers or whatever. Harder. It's so much harder in Australia because like they do the geotagging stuff, which is like if it pushes to the people in your immediate area first. So if you live on an island like Australia, there's not that many people for it to be pushed to in the beginning.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a real thing. So that's why like people in Australia just comparatively don't have as high followers as people overseas because of geotagging. This is not a science. This is obviously just like, you know, whispers because no one really knows.
That's why I don't have a million followers, okay? It's the geotagging. All right, sorry about that.
That's conspiracy as well, because nobody really knows how the algorithms and stuff work. But
no, that's the reason I don't have it. It's a geotag.
That is true. But that makes sense as well, because you would push it to the people around your immediate self first.
Like, what does your shirt say? I'm so sorry.
Fuck COVID.
I don't know why I can read that. I'm like, fuck COVID.
Yeah,
what?
It's okay, FK COVID, which means fuck COVID. Yep.
All right. Sorry. I'm paying attention. So,
I love how you just outed yourself as looking at my rack. Yeah,
looking at your tits. I'm sorry about that.
No, they're looking pretty juicy today. I got distracted. Actually. Okay.
Sorry.
This shirt makes them look really juicy, actually.
There you go. Yeah. So it's actually the shirt.
So I was doing my first overseas collab trip, lined up to work with like some, you know, big creators in America and in the UK. And yeah, like a week into my trip, I just really realized that OnlyFans is just really not for me.
Not for you. Okay.
No, it really isn't. I don't know. Overseas, it's just like, well, because overseas, I don't know. I think they probably take it maybe more seriously there because it's, there's not as many other avenues of sex work. I mean, here, like, you know, the male strippers are a big thing. Escorting is a big thing. Whereas there, like, you know, you get like a lot of the full-time OnlyFans. So I think maybe they take it more seriously over there than here. I mean, I don't want to say that for certain, but like, I don't know. That's just the vibe that I got. But when I say serious, I mean, like, obviously we have people here that take it serious. But when I say over there, because they do, I think it's because they do as well. Like, we don't really have the big porn companies and stuff here like they do overseas. And I guess if you're shooting for like Brazzers or Blacked or something, there's probably like standards that you need to adhere to in terms of like professionalism and stuff. I'm just trying to be very politically correct with what I'm saying because I don't want to like shit on anybody that I worked with. It was just, this was just the experience that I had. So the people that I worked with, it just felt very clinical over there, which I found really difficult to work like that because I guess my encounters, especially with my clients, the ones I'm used to, but even with the OnlyFans guys here, maybe it is because, but so that's why I'm saying like, it's weird how it's so clinical over there, but maybe it's just because you have to be like that with the big porn companies. I'm assuming it probably is quite clinical and very like strict and stuff. Because the experience I've had with OnlyFans here, you know, with working with guys here, you know, it does get very intimate. There's a lot of, you know, there can be a lot of kissing and whatever. You both, it kind of just seems like normal sex. You're just filming it. That's kind of, which I enjoyed that. Like, so I'm not saying that's bad. Like, I enjoyed working in that environment with all of the guys that I've worked with here. And then I go over there and it was cold. It was clinical. Mm. And like, none of the guys did anything wrong. It was like they were just too professional almost. Yeah. And it turned me off. Just the whole OnlyFans experience, because I was like, the next step would be like was going overseas and working overseas, and then the next step after that would be something like doing a Brazzers scene or a Black scene or like a pro scene. So just working with like the few like pro guys that I did work with, I was like, nah, like this.
It was just too cold.
This is just me, my experience, because like I know lots of girls that have gone overseas and they've had like a fabulous time, and some girls are just natural performers. Like the girls that are really good at OnlyFans are like, you know, girls that perform like that. I don't really consider myself much of a performer, not in that way. I mean, obviously I perform on this show and I guess I perform with my clients to an extent, but it's still like me on this show. It's still real. Mm. And even when I'm with my clients, there's still an element of realness to it. I feel like that's, I need that. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I just switch off and I'm like a different person. I'm not like that. I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing. That's just not how I am. So in these experiences, like the couple of encounters that I had in America where it was like really clinical, it was basically just a camera in my face and there was like no kissing. There was like barely any touching. It was basically just like me and there was just like a dick going in and out of me. Mm. That's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. There was no like warm up. There was no pleasure other than like, that's not pleasurable. Just having a guy just thrust his dick in and out of you and like not look at you, not kiss you, not touch you. Basically, like he's not even, he doesn't even need to be there really. Like if I had like a, one of those fuck machine things, yeah. That's kind of like how it felt like in my head. Like it was like being fucked by one of those fuck machine things.
Yeah.
And cause like with that, there's literally, it's like there's no interaction. It's just this thing going in and out of you. That's what it felt like to me. And then I had to then, cause the camera was in my face, I had to pretend like I was enjoying just being fucked with like no other interaction or warm up at all. That's not, I can't. And I found that really hard to do that. And I don't even know what I expected because like I spoke to a few girls after it when I was like, yeah, I'm just so turned off porn now. And I spoke to a few girls after and they're like, yeah, that's just kind of like what it's like because yeah, especially when you're doing pro stuff, lots of girls have boyfriends, especially in America, like a lot of the big porn stars, they have boyfriends, you know, they don't want to do all the kissing and stuff. And on the big porn sets, you got 1,000 people in the room and it has to be very clinical. So that's just what it's like over there. With some people. So I was like, nah, I'm not about it. Yeah. I was very like, I didn't even know. I didn't expect it to be like that, but I guess I didn't ask around enough on like what it was like. I thought it would be easier than it was. I guess maybe I was spoiled with the interactions that I've had here where it was like much more fun and we're both super into it and super like into each other sort of thing. And then I get there and I'm just being like fucked.
Like
just not looked. But it's not like it was like none of these guys were like degrading me or mean to me or whatever. It was just obviously they were like super professional, but too professional for me to be in. I couldn't act like I was enjoying it. I'm not a very good actress, I don't think. I think I've discovered that. I'm really not very good. So I feel like I even like looked back at like one of the scenes. Like I honestly, like I was just so turned off by the experience. Like I didn't even want to like, I didn't even want to watch like the scene after because I was like, I just knew I wasn't enjoying it. I knew my face looked like I wasn't enjoying it, even though I was really, really trying to make it look like I was enjoying it. But it was really difficult for me to pretend like I was enjoying just being fucked with like no other sensations there.
Yeah,
it was really hard for me to do that. So it really just turned me off. Like the whole, the couple of encounters I had really just turned me off porn completely.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to feel like this again. Like it just was a really weird experience.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, it sounds very, I mean, this is, I know we spoke about this on the show before, which this is like, well, I don't think I could do it because it does feel depersonalized or like even like dehumanizing a little bit, which
to an extent it did.
Yeah.
Obviously not on purpose. Obviously that wasn't the guy's intent. Yeah, of course. Like this is, to me, this was like an internal narrative in my mind.
No, of course.
But it did feel dehumanizing. Like camera in your face being told like, oh, like, you know, fucking do XYZ when I really don't want to. Like I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like what you said. And there's probably, there's good and bad things about this probably in the sense that if there's probably some girls you said that like in relationships and they're like, look, this is just clinical for me. This is
And some
work.
People
like
are just really good actors.
Mm, yeah.
100%. And you know, they're just good performers and they thrive in that performing.
Yeah.
Cause that's really what porn is. It's like 90% acting, I would say.
Yeah.
And I just, apparently I'm not very good at acting.
So I can see that. And there's probably, as I said, there's good and bad where there's going to be some girls that are like, I really want this. And then there's going to be the other end of the spectrum where probably what is more the case with the scene in Australia, which as you said, there's not like a huge production team. It's like you and the other person, there's a camera, you guys have a chance to like warm up into the scene. Like it's, a little bit more relaxed, you could say, which comes with its own problems, right? Then you do maybe lack some professionalism, where you do have girls that are like, I just wanted this to be seen, and another guy like wants something more. There's like this going on and whatnot. But yeah, I can 100% see how it'd feel when you're in that situation. You got a camera in your face, and it's like, okay, we're starting now. You got to do this. Let's go. And it's like, what? Fuck. I'd like, can we warm up a little bit?
It is a kind of a double-edged sword, because it's very polarizing. Like, you will have some girls that just want it to be like, don't kiss me beforehand. Mm. This is just professional. Especially if you've got a boyfriend. You probably don't want any of that other stuff, because it might, you know, cross boundaries or whatever, like, or, you know, the no eye contact and, you know, no kissing, no whatever. So I get that some girls probably, you know, want that. But then there's other girls like me that's like, I need a little bit of something. Like, I need to be touched a little bit. Yeah, like, look at me a little bit. Like, yeah. So it is a double-edged sword, because then I guess I have heard like polarizing opinions as well. Like, I have heard some girls be like, oh, like, you know, he wanted to make out a bit outside of the scene beforehand, and that made me feel uncomfortable. But like, with me, like, I want to make out a little bit first, because I want to kind of, you know, I like having the flirt leading up a little bit. Like, even it's not, a lot of the times it's not real, but like, it's just kind of getting a bit comfortable, getting a bit flirty, you know, getting a bit turned on. A lot of girls don't like that. It does depend, but I tried to be so like, so this is, I guess this is the advice that I can give anybody listening, but which is what I tried to do, but it didn't work out like that, is I would probably say, you know, upfront, I want to have a bit of warm up beforehand, or no, I don't, I just want to get straight into it or whatever. So like, set the boundaries before, I tried to do that. I tried to be like, yeah, I need to have a bit of warm. I need to kiss a little bit beforehand. Like, I don't mind if like the camera is on or whatever while we're like warming up. Like, that's totally fine. But I need to like get into it a bit, and I, you know, want to be, you know, like, let's just make out for a bit first. So I did try to say that. I did say that. Like, I'm not a non-vocal person. I said that, but then they were like, oh, yeah, okay. And then they made out with me for like a second. And then that was it. That was their like warming up. And I was like, oh. How do I say this? That's like in a politically correct way. Cause like, again, I don't want to shit on anybody that, I worked with, which, to be honest, I probably won't even sell any of the videos that I did over there. More just like cause I don't want people to then be like, oh, you should work with these people, and these people act a certain way. So like, in some of these instances as well, it was like, because I was working with like bigger names, I kind of felt like I had to agree to things I didn't want to agree to. And like, so I just want to like clarify that like, there was no pressure or coercion or anything like that. But because they were a bigger name, I felt like I had to like impress them or not annoy them. And I felt like one of the guys, like, I felt like he got annoyed that I was new and like was like not professional. Like, he wasn't like being mean or whatever, but I could see he was a little bit frustrated that I was like asking questions, or that I was like, you know, not okay with some things, or that I was like querying other things. Like, I could tell he was obviously a little bit frustrated, because he's like, maybe girls probably just know the go over there. There's probably something. Anyway, so I could tell that he was frustrated. So then I was like, I then felt like I had to like, oh, okay, I should probably stop asking questions, or like, I'll just end. Cause like, I had spent so much money going there, to this guy's house, and he was like a bigger name. I don't want him to then shit talk me to other people that I was going to be working with, to be like, oh God, she was so fucking annoying. She has no idea what she's doing. Which obviously, like, so this is what I'm saying. Like, he didn't coerce me into doing anything, but I felt like I had to, because I was like, okay, then what's the alternative? Is me to say no and then go all the way back home and then not get this scene, or for me to then, you know, be annoying and then him then tell people that I'm annoying. So that was kind of going through my head, which, again, that's like, that was a me issue. That wasn't him issue. Like, obviously I was in my right to be like, oh no, or like, you know, no to X, Y, Z. But I kind of felt like, oh, I really want to film with this person, and I don't want to be that annoying girl that, you know, doesn't know what's going on and whatever. So anyway, so I didn't like feeling like that either. Like, I didn't like feeling like I had to you know, do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, you feel a lot of pressure on yourself.
And I don't even mean sexually. Even just like if like one of these things was like he wanted me to wear this outfit that I really didn't want to wear. Like, yeah. So I'm not even talking like, oh, like there was no like, it's not like he was like sexually doing things to me that I didn't want him to do. So it wasn't even in that way. It was just like, just little things like that. Like he wanted me to wear this outfit. And I really didn't want to. But then he was like getting annoyed about it because that's obviously just like what, like, you know, and then he was like, oh, do you not know like my work and stuff? And I was like, fuck, like.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, and then he was like getting frustrated that I didn't want to wear this outfit, which like obviously that's like, but like that's, there's not like, that's his, that was his like thing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that's just his branding kind of, it like fits into like the branding of his whatever. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he has the girls wear these certain outfits and whatever, but I was like, do I have to? And then he was like,
did he not talk about this beforehand? Like, hey, this is what I want you to wear. This is what I expect.
Well, like, look, so when you look at his stuff, like it's, that is what girls are wearing, right? Okay. But I didn't realize it was like, you have to wear this outfit.
Yeah, I feel
like do you know what I mean? It wasn't even like a bad outfit, but so like, look, yes, the girls are wearing those stuff in his stuff because then that's when he was like, oh, haven't you seen my stuff? Mm. Which I had seen his stuff, and girls are wearing those outfits, but I didn't realize that was like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
So like again, look, a lot of this is on me. I could have clarified these things before getting to his house, right?
Yeah, but I think it's on both of you, right? And I think like if he is the more experienced one, especially like if it comes, to sex, I think everything becomes a lot different. And so, yeah, those like frustrated presence that he's like giving off. Yeah, I'd be like really careful about that when it comes to like filming sex, right? So maybe I could understand this is like another job and you're having to like help someone through. Even then, I don't think that's a professional way to work or a good way to work. Like if I'm working in IT, and I've got someone else that is coming in as a junior, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, I can't believe you don't know how to do this code. Like, what the fuck? Like, dude, it's like, no, wouldn't you just like help them out and walk them through that process and be a little bit more chill?
Oh, no, that's what I did. It's really frustrating. Like, I worked in a corporate firm once and like sometimes you'd have to coach people, like the interns or whatever through things. And I get, sometimes it can be frustrating.
I don't think you should be displaying that frustration is what I'm saying.
I wasn't being mean or whatever. This is what I'm trying to be really polite. He wasn't being mean or whatever.
I know you're being really nice.
Okay, like, yes, he was a bit frustrated. Like, it would be frustrating. That's fine. But like, anyway, that was it. Maybe he wasn't even frustrated. Like, maybe he wasn't. But like, I felt like he was. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, fair. Yeah.
I'm trying to be politically correct here.
No, okay? I get it. I know we're not sitting here. I don't even know who this is, by the way. But I know we're sitting here and shitting on like some person or blah, blah. Like, these are a lot of feelings that you're going through. I'm just saying that it's okay to have those feelings and for you to kind of feel like, damn, I don't think this is very nice that like I'm coming in here kind of new to this like experience internationally. I don't know what their usual protocols are. And this guy feels like he's coming off a little bit frustrated, making me do certain things. I think it's okay to feel like, hey, fuck, this feels horrible and I don't like this and I don't want to be a part of this. And I think it's also okay to maybe be a little bit critical of that and saying like, hey, there's probably like a better way for him to go about this at the same time as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a better way, but like what, you know, at the end of the day, like I'm not going to just like go and shit talk this guy because I could have clarified more things as well, right? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so that, I mean, that was like one example. And then, yeah, look, then I worked with, you know, I worked with like a couple of people. It was like three people that kind of just really shit me.
Yeah.
Not shit me, but like just not pleasant experiences. So there was, yeah, so it wasn't just one person. It was like a few people that I'd worked with and it was just not pleasant experiences. Yeah. It was just, you know, clinical and even sometimes organizing it was just like a hassle. And then there was changes and things like there was that. So that's the main thing. The main issue was like, it was really clinical, but then there was also so many other things as well, is that people were just so unorganized. There was a lot of, you know, promises that were then taken back, people canceling and whatever and trying to like, so it was just such a shit show. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't have, like, I don't have to deal with this shit in escorting. So I feel like I don't work well in teams. And with OnlyFans, if you're not doing solo, like it is like a team sport kind of. Like you're depending on other people when you're like collabing. You're depending on other people's time and organization and resources and skills and knowledges and whatever. So it's like a codependent thing when you're collabing, which I'm such a control freak as well. And I like things done a certain way. And I'm not saying one way is more right than the other in like the whole collabing thing. But like I like things done a certain way, and then when they're not done that way, I'm like, oh, that's not how I like things done. No. But with my escorting stuff, I can do everything the way I want, whenever I want, for how long I want, for how much I want and whatever. So I like that I have like complete control over the whole thing. So I've now decided like I ended up canceling like 15 or so collabs after that. Basically after like I had those experiences, I was like, no. Yeah. I was like, no more. I was like, literally, I was just like, from what I had heard, some of the guys that I canceled on were like really good guys and like, we're really good to work with. I was like, I don't care. Yeah. I was like, I actually just don't care. I'm actually just so turned off that I couldn't even bring myself to do it right now. Even if it was like a really big, I canceled on like a few really, really big names as well, which I'm probably the only person that's ever canceled on some of these people. I canceled on some big names and I was like, I don't care how big they are right now. Mm. I can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's the right move. Like if you're leaving these, if you're leaving these experiences and feeling like, fuck, this feels cold. I'm not enjoying this. Like I'm used to the, you know, obviously you're in sex work. You're used to escorting where the guy like cares about you. He's into you. You're enjoying the experience. Or if you're doing it with creators that like there's some chemistry with. But yeah, if you're doing experiences where you're like, okay, this feels cold. There's a camera on my face. It's clinical. I don't really feel like a connection here or any chemistry, and that's what I kind of like. And this is just making sex feel like weird for me. It's just like very distant. Fuck it. I think you made the right decision, man.
Yeah, and like OnlyFans is just a little side thing for me. It's not like my main source of income. I barely make anything from OnlyFans, to be honest. Like, well, compared to like my escorting stuff, my OnlyFans is like a tiny percentage of like my monthly income. But I mean, I'm still going to do OnlyFans. I'm just going to really be working with like guys I've already worked with, male creators that I haven't worked with yet, but like I'm friends with them, and like I know we would like make like good scenes together. No. So yeah, I'm just going to do that. But like, even then, I'm not going to do it as often as like I was doing it. And I'm going to try to like do mostly solo stuff or like camming, you know, like FaceTime calls and, which I actually do a lot of FaceTime calls. Surprisingly, I have a fair few FaceTime call clients and I don't mind doing that. It's kind of fun. Yeah. Still a bit intimate because like they're kind of, even though they're not physically there, they're at least I can get something back from them. I can like gauge and they're like, oh yeah, that's fucking so hot and whatever. So I've been still getting something back. Yeah. And then I don't do much solo stuff, but I might try and do some more solo stuff, but but yeah, so that was my OnlyFans journey. So I spent a lot of money to just know that I didn't want to do it, but I'm happy that I did do it because now I know I don't like it. So I can put that to bed now because that was something that I wanted to do this year is I wanted to do a collab trip. I've been wanting to do a collab trip for since I started doing OnlyFans. I was like, I want to go and work with all the people overseas.
Yeah.
So I'm at least glad that I tried it because I always wanted to try it. So it's not like I did it for no reason. I really wanted to do that. And now I know that it's not for me, which is good because it means I'll save money on all of the overseas trips that I won't be doing now for that. Because girls usually, the ones that do work overseas, they go like a few times a year. So I'll be saving money on not doing that, which is good. And then my last, I went to the UK, again, cancelled all my UK collabs, but just did FS work there. So I have managed to get a few clients in the UK. So that was fun. But then got really violently ill. I spent majority of my time in London dead in bed, like dying, which I know. So my whole trip just went to shit. It was just like and you know, I had one client that was like, I will pay you to not go. And I was like, I wish I took that money. I wish I took that money. I know. But then I would have ended up going again another time because I wanted to do a club trip. And I think part of me wanted to see if these people would work with me. I think there was a little bit of that as well. I don't think it was even all about the, oh, I need content. I mean, I can do solo content, right? Mm. Oh, I can work with people here. So
it was like a goal for you, like trying to grow and
it was like the explosion stuff, but I think there was a little part of me that was like, I wonder if these big names would work with me.
Okay. Yeah.
Like am I good enough?
Was
for
a
that?
Part of the Was a part of the negative experience, perhaps, like the disappointment in terms of, because this is what I would imagine is, you got like these bigger names and maybe you're hoping for a more, I was going to say intimate experience, but not even that, but even like a more like friendly or acknowledgement, and it was kind of like, okay, let's go, done.
Well, So one scene that like really disappointed me was, there was a lot of disappointment, which I think like that just like, I can't handle any more disappointment. Yeah. So one was like, I was filming an MMF and just the whole, again, it was so clinical and I was so excited. I've only ever done one MMF. It was like the best experience of my life. That was the most fun I've ever had. Literally, it was my biggest fantasy. So I was so excited to like do another one. And again, it was so clinical. It was cameras in my face, felt like they weren't even there. And I don't know, it was like in the morning as well. And like, I could tell they were kind of tired and sort of just like, didn't want to be up that early. And just like, so I felt like they didn't even want to be there. And so that turned me off before we had even started filming. I was already turned off by the fact that it just felt like they didn't want to be there. Cause like they were like tired and it was like early in the morning and like they were doing something else in the evening before. And so I had already got the film. I was like, oh god, like I just like, I'm excited and like these guys are like not excited, so like this just kills my vibe already. And then like doing it was like clinical, so I was like, and MMF for me was supposed to be like my biggest fantasy, and I had like it was not enjoyable at all, which that disappointed me because MMFs are supposed to be very fucking enjoyable.
Yeah, and it almost feel like I'm trying to like put myself in your shoes. Like for me, it'd feel almost like a little bit of a rejection in a way. Like if I'm having sex with a girl and I'm like, oh, this is fun and exciting, let's like do this scene, this would be cool. And then the girl's sitting there like, oh, okay, work, let's go. Let's just get this done. Got another scene, got another thing to do. I'd be like, yo, we can like enjoy this experience at least.
Yeah.
Even like take outside of sex. Like even back when I'm nursing, like if I'm nursing with someone, because like oftentimes you work in teams, if I'm like nursing with someone, I'm like, we got an 8-hour shift together. And I'm like, cool, I'm working with you. That's like a lot of fun. Let's do it. And they're like looking at me like, oh, I got paired with you. Are you kidding me? Fine.
Yeah,
and
that's like basically how it around. Was.
I'd be like, I'm fun to work with. What do you mean? Like, this is fucked up. I'd feel pretty hurt, you know?
Yeah. So that's basically exactly what it was. And then, that was one bad experience. And then the second bad experience was, So this was like the one who's like, I went to his place and like wanted me to wear this outfit, and you know, the whole thing was just not enjoyable. He was my porn crush. I was like, I was so super excited and like extra nervous because I was like, this is literally like I'm going to be meeting with my actual porn crush. And so that was a letdown.
Yeah.
It's like an extra super letdown. But I had two big letdowns. It was like, I was going to be like fucking my porn crush, which is like, imagine fucking your favorite porn star.
Yeah.
That's basically what that was. And it was not enjoyable, which was, that was just fucking soul shattering. And then having an MMF, which any girls listening, MMF is most girls' fantasies. And then that was like, again, like fuck. So damn. It was like, I can only handle so much, so much disappointment in like such a short amount of time. And I was like, fuck this. Like, this is like, and look, I'm sure some of the encounters that I had, like after that with like guys that I ended up canceling with, I'm sure like some of them would have been great to work with, which I had heard, but like, and you know what, maybe it's just bad days. Like these people, like, you know, people have bad days. I have bad days. But yeah, I was just, it just, the whole thing just turned me off, but like turned me off. Like it's like too late for me. There's no comebacks after that for me now.
No, I think that's fair. I think, I think I'd feel similar in that situation. Like, kind of got a letdown. It feels very clinical. You're not enjoying it. Yeah, fuck it. And you don't even need it.
So, and you know what? Like, honestly, I'm kind of glad in a way as well that it didn't work out because I'm doing too much. I've just picked up a couple of new projects that I'm now working on, which has just eaten more into my time. So like, I had to drop something.
Yeah.
Like my blog, that I haven't even spoken about my blog for like ages. Like I had a blog once upon a time that I was like regularly posting on. I haven't posted on that in like a year, which I would like to get back into blogging again because like I enjoy writing, but I don't know. So that's something that I've been wanting to pick up again for ages. Now that I'm not doing this, like the TikTok stuff, that's gone now because I was trying to do TikTok for a bit. So I just don't need to do that anymore. So something had to go.
Oh, you got more time now.
Less
time, but more priority.
I'm working on things that I enjoy doing more. Like I never enjoyed OnlyFans. I never enjoyed it. I was like, it's extra money. Yep. So that's really all I was doing it for. But yeah, so now I'm just going to try to do
that's
more
good. Yeah, now
stuff.
You know, you've explored it, you've done your trip, you did your collabs, and like you got to a point now where you get some clarity and like, this is what I want to do. And yeah, that's good.
Yep. So yeah, to everyone watching, to people who are subscribed to my OnlyFans, it is getting like a little bit of a revamp. I'm trying to work out how I want to like rebrand my OnlyFans to be like less of a like collab porn page and more of like a solo me page. So, cool. I'm brainstorming ideas at the moment of how I want to kind of go about it. So if you're subscribed, sorry that I've been a bit slack with my posting and stuff, because I'm trying to figure out where I want to place it exactly. But yeah.
Cool.
So that's that.
Interesting. I was just going through my head there of like thinking of what your OnlyFans could look like. Like once a week you read out your blog naked or something erotically.
Yeah, I think I want to try and center it more on like, yeah, doing like live shows.
Yeah.
Camming.
Cool.
Custom. So I want to try and push it more towards that.
Yeah.
I want to see what that looks like, and like if am I going to do a weekly thing, and like, you know, just what are my angles going to be? Am I going to be doing something specific? Like, am I going to be doing something specific on this live show, like cooking in lingerie? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm playing with like lots of ideas, right? So I'm kind of figuring out. And like, what kind of things do I even want to post? Like, do I want to post just naked pictures of me, or do I want to post like specific things, like me doing things naked? Like, I don't know. There's a few ideas that I'm like toying with on like what I want to make the page be. So anyway, so that's what I'm thinking about at the moment. But I actually do have another story. I have so much has happened to me in the past. Like, because we hadn't seen each other in like a month. Literally so much has happened to me.
Mm.
So I had another blast from the past.
Tell me.
A guy that I went to high school with.
Yes.
Tried to book me.
Yeah, okay.
Is it a different guy from the – I'm having so many guys from my past.
Oh, okay. Messaging. All right, well, tell me.
Messaging me.
Did you meet up?
No, we didn't. But we were going to, but
– what happened?
I don't know. Well, like, I don't know. Maybe he, like, chickened out. So he is somebody that we – he was – I think he played on the same soccer team as someone that went to my high school when I was, like, this is – so I went to two high schools. I went to one for like year 7, year 8, and then I moved and went to a different one. So I think me and this guy, I think he moved to my high school when I was in year 8.
Okay.
Because he did, I'm pretty sure he moved to my school. My memory's like not what it used to be. So I'm pretty sure he moved to my school in year 8, and then I then left and moved to another school. So we went to school for like a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to say we had a little fling at some point. Okay. I think we did.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we did. I don't think we ended up ever doing anything though, but I think we had like little, you know how when you're a teenager you flirt with like everybody? I'm pretty sure we had little flirtations. So there was lots of guys that I had flings with in high school. But not all of these guys ever eventuated into things, but there was like, you know, mutual interest there. So I'm pretty sure we had some interaction of flirting.
Okay.
Oh, I think it was online. I don't know if it was ever in person. From memory, I don't think we did anything in person, but we did have some kind of flirting stuff. And then I moved schools, and then I made new friends and went, I started hanging out with a different group, lost touch with people from my original school that I started at. So anyway, so that's where he's from. Anyway, and then so he messages me, and he was like, hey, I was like, hey, but like obviously I didn't have his number saved because like I don't know. I don't know if I ever had his number, or maybe we probably have different numbers now. And he was like, oh, and then he said like my real name, and I was like, fuck's sake, I was like, who's this person? And then he's like, oh, like you would remember me. You were my like childhood dream girlfriend. And I was like, oh, but that doesn't narrow it down. I was like,
everyone's childhood
dream. I was a lot of people's childhood dream girlfriend. Oh, like I've got another story just about that as well. Let me just cut to this other story like real quick, and then I'll come back to this other one because I'm going to forget then. I was fun in high school. Okay. I was I was popular.
Okay.
I was slutty too, but also popular. But it's funny just like reliving my youth sometimes, because sometimes I'll talk to people about how like my high school days, and people, half the time people don't believe me. And I was like, no, I probably was cool once upon a time. Or like, yeah, I used to do these cool things and stuff. Like, I used to do the XYZ in high school, and people don't believe me. But back then there was no social media. There's no evidence. It's just all stories, right?
In that case, I was the most popular kid in school, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah.
I was at my cousin's, I was with my cousins, and we were in the city. This was only like a couple of months ago. We're in the city, and we're at some bar, and guys that I knew from high school, they didn't actually go to my high school. They went to one of the neighboring high schools, but I was friends with one of them, and then a couple of them, like, we were kind of like, you know, acquaintances, but we kind of hung out in the same group anyway. And then I ran into them and I was like, oh god, like I haven't seen you guys since like year 9 or something like that. It would have been ages ago. And then they're like, oh, like you should come back and like drink at like our place. That's, you know, they were just staying like I think they all still live like out from where I'm from. They were staying this, you know, they were like, oh, do you want to like come back, like have a few drinks? I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. So I went back to their apartment, we're having a few drinks. They're like, I can't believe that you're actually here hanging out with us.
You're the cool girl.
Like, this person from school is in our apartment. I just thought that was so cute. I was like, oh god. Cute. I was like, oh, blast from the past. I was damn. Like, yeah, was
they're like super excited.
They know they were. Seriously, this is not even me tooting my own horn. It's actually a true fact. But anyway, my high school days were pretty wild. Anyway, so back to the story. Anyway, yeah, so then he was like, oh, this guy that was with me, he's like, yeah, you're my childhood dream girlfriend. I was like, I'll just narrow it down. And then he told me who he was, and I was like, oh, I remember you. Anyway, he's like, oh, I've been wanting to book you for so long.
Oh, interesting. He finally built all the courage.
Well, I think he's in the middle of a divorce. Is the vibe that I kind of got. He's like, oh, I'm going through a separation. I believe he has a kid as well. So he would have got married. I mean, he would have did all of the things that all of the WOGs did back in my area, which thank God I got out of that, is you get married, you have kids like straight away.
Yeah.
So he obviously did that because like him and I are the same age.
Yeah.
Obviously not doing that. He obviously probably couldn't book me, but maybe I don't know how long the separation thing. Well, I didn't see him, so I don't know. Maybe the separation thing's been going on for a while.
Yeah,
he obviously maybe was starting to like look at his alternatives to that, and then would have seen me pop up, which I don't even know how half these people recognize me, because I don't look anything the same now as I did in high school. Crazy. I look nothing the same.
That's
like literally nothing the same. So like I just assume people would not recognize me, but apparently they do.
Damn.
So
because that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I looked completely different back then.
Interesting.
So
no booking though in the end.
Well, so he wanted to book me that night for an overnight. But I already had I already had a client that night. So I would have seen him, but I had like my night was already booked out, like fully booked out. So I was like, I literally can't see you tonight. But I was like, I could see you tomorrow night if you want. And he was like, okay, yeah, let's do tomorrow night. And I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't really like, I didn't get it. Would normally, so obviously because he was like a childhood friend, I was like, oh, we can just sort it out tomorrow. Normally if someone wants to book me for an overnight, I'm like, oh, you got to do X, Y, Z procedures and screening and this deposit and whatever. Yeah. But I was like, I mean, I didn't even know if he was serious, to be honest. So like, I don't know. If I was like, maybe just, like, I'm not even sure if he's serious in action. So I was like, all right, we'll just chat tomorrow. Anyway, and then tomorrow came and he's like, oh, you know, I think I've got something that's like something else that's come up to my tonight. I was like, oh, whatever. So I don't know if he actually wanted to see me and if that was true, or maybe he did and then he chickened out after sleeping on it. So I'm not really sure. I haven't heard from him since.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see.
Yeah. Maybe but I mean, like he was hot. So that would be fun. And he was happy to pay as well. So like this wasn't like a
hookup.
Yeah. There wasn't a hookup. He was like, oh, like what are your rates and things? Like he was more than happy to pay to fuck me.
Okay. Well, you're his childhood dream girlfriend.
So yeah, no, I was. Yeah. So
it's worth the money.
Yeah. anyway, yeah, so that happened. Anyway, so I mean I hope he comes back around.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's like in bed.
Blast from the past.
Yeah, so that happened.
Damn, nice.
Anyway, to be continued on that. And the other guy, remember how I was saying there was another guy?
Yeah,
I remember that I went on one date with and then messaged. I haven't heard from him.
Okay.
All right,
we'll see.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So they're my two stories.
There you go.
How has your week been? I feel like I feel like we've got so much catching up to you that this is just going to be kind of like a collection, an anecdote of just like stories.
A whole episode is how was your week? Yeah, exactly.
But for the past, like, because we've got four weeks of weeks to catch up on.
I've just been in the corner crying. Yeah.
Yep.
Just thinking, where's Kat been?
Yeah.
I miss her so much.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's my 4 weeks.
But I would expect you to be doing nothing else but that.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. And then when you came back, I went to Mardi Gras.
Oh, that's right. So we did hang out actually on the weekend. So I saw you pretty soon after I got back. And in true Kat fashion, I came, said hello, and then left.
Left after 3
that's
minutes.
That's what,
yeah.
that's.
Hey, Kat, come out of party. Nah, I'm
gonna go, but I'll come say hi. That's what I do. I usually come for the pre's.
You come for the hi.
And then I leave for the action.
That's true, yeah.
And I go to bed.
So we went Mardi Gras. This is my first ever Mardi Gras I've ever been to.
Yeah, I still to this day have never been.
Hell.
Even though I live in Sydney.
I know, it's crazy.
And I live in the city. Like, I walked home. And I was walking past like people that were all dressed up and shit. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Was it fun? What's it even like? I have a lot of friends that went, but like I wanted to go always, like my whole life I wanted to go. But now I just left it so long that I'm now at that point where I don't want to go out. So now I'm just like, I just don't.
It's past you. Yeah, it was. I think if I'm going to do it properly, like next year, you have to like all dress up. You have to like get tickets to actually see the parade. Because like you can go to the non-ticketed section where you could see the parade, but you're like so far back and you're going to have to like pop your head over everyone else.
And
so
if you're short, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So it was like fun. It was a cool experience, like seeing like some of the, what do they call it? Like floats? Floats go past and whatever, and everyone's like getting into it. So that was fun. But then we ended up just going clubbing. We just went to like a club. And then
on Oxford Street?
On Oxford Street, yeah. Well, close enough to Oxford Street. And then, halfway during the night, I went out to grab some gum or some shit. And there was just like people partying everywhere. It was like pretty, it was like cool. But besides like watching 20 minutes of the parade, I didn't have much involvement. We kind of just went to a club. So I think, next year I'd be keen to do it a little bit more properly, let's say. But it was nice to be able to see. It was nice to be able to say, like, yeah, I did Mardi Gras finally living in this city for my whole life. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say that I'll get there eventually. I was actually asked to be on a float. It was like one of the sex worker floats that they've got.
Yeah.
And I said no because I didn't know. I actually probably would have maybe gone if I was on a float because I'd be like, oh, that's cool, once in a lifetime thing. But originally I was, because I actually booked to come back earlier from my trip. So I was actually not supposed to be back or I was supposed to be getting back. Okay. I think I was meant to get back that day of Mardi Gras. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know how jet lagged I'm going to be and whatever. But I ended up booking to come back like a few days earlier because then I got sick. So I canceled all my collabs and stuff. So I was like, there's no point in me being here. And then I got sick and I was like, fuck this, I want to go home. So I came back a few days earlier than I was supposed to. So anyway, I would have been able to go on one of the floats, but anyway, maybe next year I might do a float. But yeah, that would be the only time I'd probably go. But like, you know what, even then maybe not.
Fair. I must say it was very interesting seeing one of our friends, because we were in like a club, but obviously it was gay and lesbian times going on, right? So there were a couple of girls in the club that kept eyeing out our friend and our friend's bi. I don't know if you know, even know who I'm talking about right now.
No, I have no idea, actually.
But
trying to think like who was there.
She was running some good game, yo. Like every time I look over, she's like making out with another girl. Like the girls are like looking up and dancing up at her and shit. But the funniest moment was, there was like one time this girl like came over and she was like kind of dancing with us, like chatted for a bit. She's like hanging out a group. And then our friend was like, okay, starts talking up this girl. They get a bit close. They start dancing. Then the girl turns around. She's like, I'm straight, by the way. She's like, I'm not lesbian. I'm straight. And it's like, this is the first time I've seen a girl get like essentially rejected trying to hit on someone. It was an interesting experience. But it was fun. Good times.
I mean, I've been hit on once by a lesbian. Mm. It only happened one time. I was very flattered because I was like, I'm sexy to both sexes.
There you go.
Yeah. Which that was, it was a good ego boost. But then, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't swing that way.
Yeah. Well, I got grabbed. A guy was so like aggressive. Holy shit. He like grabbed me and starts like, and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what do you want? He's like, come dance with me. And I'm like, nah, bro, like I'm good. And then
was he in like little budgie smugglers or something?
I can't remember what he was wearing, to be honest. But then we kept dancing. And then he came over again and grabbed it. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, bro. And then the funniest moment is Josh, one of our mates, is like, he's with me. I was just like cracking up laughing. And I was like, I just told him, like, leave
me alone. Whatever gets him to piss off.
Yeah. So, so me and Josh started making out just so he knew that. No, I'm kidding. but interesting night, but fun times. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. We'll do it next year. We'll jump on a float. It'll be good.
I mean, I feel like we probably could. Yeah. Okay. I have one last funny story from my trip. Actually, it was I was with one of my I stayed with one of my friends there for a couple of nights. And a few episodes ago, actually, it was a few episodes ago. Now we were talking about what is the ick and like weird icks.
Yeah.
And my friend told me the funniest ick. Like it was just It was so funny, and she was beside herself. Like she was almost angry at me that I thought it was funny that she had this ick. And she was like, what do you mean? And then she ended up doing a full tweet about it to like try to get
some support.
To get support or like, no, this is outrageous that this guy did this. And I was like, not even something I would ever even notice.
What is it?
So she went on a date with this guy. They went out to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And he didn't order an entree or an appetizer or whatever it's called. So like it just went straight to the mains.
Stop.
I thought it was so funny. And this girl is skinnier than me. Like this girl doesn't eat more than a grape, right? And so with me personally, I've gone out to dinner with clients before and they've wanted to order like lots of things. But I always say to them like, yo, because I feel bad if they order 20 dishes and I can't eat it because then I'm like, it looks like I'm forcing them to spend their money.
Yeah.
That's what I think in my head. Well, maybe it's different for me with clients. I mean, because I get when I'm with a client, I mean, I don't want to look like I'm taking advantage of them and be like, oh, yeah, let's order all these things. I would be like, I mean, I'm not shy if I really wanted to eat something. I'm like, I get this? But I know I don't eat much, right? And I do get uncomfortable if they want to order lots of things because then I feel like I'm forced to eat when I'm not hungry. Like when I reach fullness, I'm going to stop eating. So if I've had one piece of broccoli and I'm full, like, which I've had like low key, I really don't eat that much.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for me to feel full. So when they've ordered like entrees and then like, I can't do an entree main. Mm. Like if I'm on a date or anything, like I can't do two meals. I can't do it. I can barely finish one meal, let alone do an entree and then a main. If I have an entree, there's no way I'm eating my main. There's like, I'm not eating it. And then then you add sides into the mix and then dessert, that's too much. Like I'd get sick. So I can do one meal or if you want to do a few things and then share like tapas, that's okay because like I'm just little grazing or whatever. But I can't do entree, main, dessert, sides. I can't do that. And she was beside herself that like this guy didn't get an entree.
Why? Did she say why it's a red flag?
Because that's what I said. I was like, why is that an issue? And I was like, you don't eat that much. She's smaller than this girl doesn't eat much. We're both small little girls.
Mm.
And I'm always up front. Like I will say if they're like, oh, do you want to get this side and this side and that side? And I'm up front and say, I don't eat much.
Mm.
Like I'm not even going to finish my normal food. Like, and I'd just be straight up and I'm like, you're going to have to eat half of this thing that I've got. I'm not going to eat all of it. If you want to get the sides, get them for you, but just know that I don't need anything extra. Mm. Like I'll have a nibble if you get them, like to try it. But I'm going to be full from like my one steak or whatever it is that I've ordered. Anyway, so I asked her and she goes, oh, it's not about the amount of food. It's about that you should be ordering as much food as possible, like to like impress me.
Yeah.
Not like as much food, but it's like that you would normally get in a normal dining experience.
Yeah.
Right. You would get entree, main, dessert. I guess it normally, I think. Well, I wouldn't personally.
That's what you mean by normally. Like,
well, that's how she put it. She's like, you would get entree, main, and dessert, wouldn't you? And I'm like, well, I can't eat entree. And I said, because I was trying to push back, like in the guy's defense, I was like, personally, I would, I get it. I can't eat that much.
Yeah. I mean, it depends how long you're sitting there. Like oftentimes if I go out to dinner with friends and shit, we're just grabbing mains and that's it.
Yeah.
Like that's what we eat. If you're going for like, if you're going for a dining experience, if it's like your anniversary dinner or something, then I get it. You might want to do like a whole experience where you sit there, you have entrees, you wait a little bit, you order a main, you wait, you try some dessert and maybe there's some food left over, you're trying different things. I get it. But if you're just going for like dinner with someone, Like, fuck out of here. It's a red flag if you don't know. Well, like, we'll see, that's crazy.
Well, when my dad and I go out to dinner, right, we order 25 million things and it doesn't matter if I don't eat all of it, right? There's no pressure for me to eat all of this food and I'm with my dad. It's same if I was with a friend and she wanted to order like a few things and I, you know, she wanted to, you know, get a few things and I didn't want to eat all of it. There's no pressure. But if I'm on a date and he's ordered 25 things, I'm going to feel pressure to eat it. Like, do you know what I mean?
And I guess it's one thing. Maybe she's like, oh, is it entree? I'd like to get like this. And then he's like, no, we're not getting entrees. That would be a bit of a red flag. But if he's just like, hey, what do you want to order? And she's like, well, it's up to you. What are you getting? And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to grab the steak. And then she's like, oh, what a red flag. You didn't order an entree. This is fucked up. Like, get out of here. I think that's crazy. I think this person has like stupid ideals. I think this makes absolutely no sense. I don't know who you're talking about. But if I was on a date with her, I'm telling her, you're not allowed an entree, okay? We're only
humans. You can beg.
Yeah.
You can beg for fries.
With that fucking attitude. Maybe you deserve if you're lucky. But anyway, there you go.
That was just my last little story. That was the weirdest, funniest eat that I've ever heard in my life. He didn't order an entree. And that's not even something I would notice. Whether or not we ordered an entree, I wouldn't even notice it. Usually if I'm on a date with a guy and he's like, oh, like, do you want to get on? Like, you know, what do you want for the entree? I would just straight up say like, I can't do an entree in Maine.
Yeah. There are some weird, like I recently
like, I'd had rather Maine and sides.
Okay. Maine and sides. Yeah. Fair.
If he needs more food. Most guys need extra food.
Yeah.
I just say you can have half of my food. I'm not going to eat it.
That's what I just eat all the girls' food. Yeah. That's my plan. All right. Happy days.
Anyway, thanks for listening to our episode full of stories.
Yeah, thanks today. For listening to us rant. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was literally a big rant this episode. Yeah. And again, make sure you vote for us at the AAIA Awards. I'll pop the link below. And if you want to see us live, you can get a ticket. Anybody can go to the Adult Awards. So yeah, if you want to see us do a live show.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a live show. We're just hosting, but it's kind of a live show.
Yeah, live show.
You see us in the flesh.
Yeah, come along. Come say hey. All right. Love you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.